Now we move into the next phase of our program. And our special guest, who's come 1,000 miles to be here, Leding Kaliba. Leding is a lifelong resident of Harlem and has been a vital force in New York's drama and poetry scenes for the last 2 decades. He's the co-founder of a performance poetry group called the Ghetto Messengers, and he is the director and co-founder of Images Writers Collective, a not-for-profit writers group. He's also the publisher of Single Action Productions, and he is the poetry editor of a magazine called African Voices, which is we have some issues up here that are very reasonably priced and worth checking out. And that's a still developing magazine that he's just joined in the last 2 years. Leding has written and published 4 books of poetry. We have 2 available on our book table. The Moon Is My Witness is one of them, and I think it says a lot about Leding that this book, which is now in its 4th printing, that says something about him, that people buy his book. And what was really striking to me in there is that it's a collection of Leding's work, and yet there's a section in the back that's called Sharing. And he has collected a kind of mini anthology of younger emerging poets on the New York scene. He's about getting his own work out, but also supporting the art form and supporting the younger voices, and is totally sincere in that effort and totally competent in that effort. His most recent book, Spirit Anthems and Ancient Magic, is also available here tonight. He's a wonderful performer. He's, I think, had a great time moving around St. Louis in the last couple of days and meeting people. He's really kind of enticed probably some of you down here who's just made contact with him, because he's the type of person who does make contact with you. So I'm going to move away and let him make contact with you. So please give a warm St. Louis welcome on a cold night to Leding Kaliba.
All lies. No. How y'all doing?
Good. I'm glad y'all really came out. First, I want to thank Shirley for really talking me up and having folks to bring me down here from New York. And I want to thank Adelia and Michael for really taking me all around. Thank you for opening their house for me. And I was just making a fool out of myself in their house, but they tolerated it, so it was cool, you know. And, basically, I'm going to be reading from my last 2 books this evening, Spirit Anthems and Ancient Magic. Most of my work is kind of like little snatches of my life, of just things I think about and, you know, things that I've gone through. So I think most of the poems are self-explanatory. So I'm going to kind of do what I think I do best, and that's actually do my work. Now, the first poem I would like to share is entitled Mother's Song. Tribute to mothers. I think, you know, we too often kind of disregard all the things that mothers do to kind of see us through this world. You know, the only time you really thinking in was when Mother's Day come along and you have that little one day, and then going back to doing what you're doing, you forget about your mother's day. Some folks do, you know, but I think that we should pay tribute to mothers all year round. If I were a singer of songs, I'd lift my voice mountain high in praise of mothers. Women who give body and soul for family, scrub other people's floors and launch their children's dreams from swollen knees and bruised knuckles while wading in puddles of splintered suds. Women who would take the weight of Atlas's world if he failed to hold it steady, giving solid footing to her children. I seen lessons learned on my mama's knee, teaching me about going on. At times I thought there was nowhere to go. And when I needed inspiration, I think of little Miguel's mother, who pitched batting practice after work, giving her son prayers and faith to go along with his bat and glove so he wouldn't strike out when his dreams threw curves. I take the rhythms of mama's pots and pans, Ella Meadowdeline, recall how she made a symphony of leftovers that fed hope to young dreamers, like Deborah's mother, who sharpened pencils on the cutting edge of her teeth because her daughter wanted to be a writer, and who still found time to make model airplanes with her son Kashif, whose dreams were about flight. And Lord, when his dreams seemed out of reach, she pulled the heavens down to tuck him in at night. If I were a singer of songs, I'd sing mother love equations, giving 364 days a year, receiving one in return and calling it even. If I were a singer of songs, I'd clap my hands, I'd stomp my feet, I'd lift my voice mountain high and pull a praise song for mothers from the depths. Was saying, I'm from New York and basically raised in Harlem. My life, originally I was raised on the Lower East Side of New York, but I always claimed Harlem as my spot. So, anyway, my parents, you know, used to sit me and my brothers and my sisters down and used to always tell us about the times when they were partying in Harlem. You know, all those night spots that they went to, though, they're gone now. But back in the 70s, I used to go to a spot called the Baby Grand. This was one of the big night spots in Harlem in their days. I was on the tail end of it, but they used to have a little room in the back on Wednesday night where they would let us do our poetry and stuff. And one evening while I was back there doing my work, it dawned on me that this was the same Baby Grand that they told me about. And I wrote this piece, it's really a tribute to them, called Baby Grand. It seems strange standing here in the place my parents spoke so fondly of. You know, when I close my eyes and I listen with my mind's ear, I can see them dancing and hear them laughing, their voices rising and falling sharply in tones of now ancient hipness, standing here at the club Baby Grand. I can recall those intimate nights of mommy and daddy rapping to me, my brothers and my sister, about how they rode the original A-Train to Harlem, how they stomped at the Savoy, had big times their smalls, how they lindy hopped and soft shoot their way into weekend frenzies, Cab Calloway, Zoot Suits, Bebop, red dresses and high heel sneakers, mom and daddy losing themselves in the soul of a Donna Washington blues song. The brown bomber would win another fight, and it was big times and parties under Harlem lights. You know, when I stand here and I close my eyes, I can see them dancing, dancing the way they would dance for us in our Harlem apartment. The living room floor, it would transform into their ballroom, and mommy and daddy would bounce to their feet, forcing their bodies to recall youthful movements. Oh, I can see it so clearly now. My mama, she's up on the floor, and she's swinging and swaying like Langston Hughes poet words. And daddy, he picks up the beat. He steps back, spins around, pulls a split, slides up in time to catch mama's hand at the high point of a spin. And now me, my brothers, and my sister, we're on the edge of the couch. We're caught up on our parents' every move, moves that do justice to ancient tribal dances, dances that our people danced long before ocean and time put Harlem on our minds. Then as quickly as the images came, they seemed to be fading in the distance, and I can hear my mother's voice saying, "All right, kids, brush your teeth before you go to bed." And I could see my older sister walking toward the TV set, getting ready to catch the end of the Late Late Show. And mommy and daddy, they're walking hand in hand to the bedroom with Baby Grand Yesterday still glowing in their eyes. You know, when I stand here and I listen with my mind's ear, I can hear the music. I don't stay out late, nowhere to go. I'm home about 8, me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. When I close my eyes, I can see him dancing. Thank you. I have a very large record collection. You know, it goes way back to the 20s all the way up. One evening I was not quite that old, but it goes back to clarify that. You know, I'm getting it. But anyway, I was like really grooving to some Bessie Smith records and some Billie Holiday. And I was kind of comparing the two. You know how Billie got all the hype and Bessie kind of got pushed to the side. And thinking, and I said to myself, well, it's a thing really among African Americans where we sometimes engage in that in-house, I call it in-house racism, you know, it's kind of racism against ourselves and dark skin, light skin kind of thing. And I wrote this tribute to Bessie. It's called Blues Tribute. I hate to see that evening sun go down. I said I hate to see that evening sun go down. They mention your name only in passing, a footnote to the emergence of those who came after. Too black to be pretty, they said. Too fat to be loved. Your face spoke the blues of a woman's night. You were shunned by those who wallowed in the preference of a lady's day. Too black to be Sleeping Beauty. Your legacy now lies twisted and tormented in a forgotten place with no prince to kiss awake the bitter sleep. Oh, but we be blues, children, Bessie, and none can deny that you were our mother, that you carried us in the womb of guttural moans and salty lyrics. We suckled at the breast of sweaty southern nights and grew to respect in the heat of a juke joint's embrace. St. Louis woman wears a diamond ring, pulls her man around on her apron string. Twerk for perfume and for store-bought hair. That man of mine wouldn't have gone nowhere, nowhere. We be blues, children, Bessie. Four generations of legacy rooted in cotton seeds and delta dust. We play your records with fingers scratching between the grooves to unearth truth. And on our collective shoulders, we lift you high above the mud, wrestle you from the demented grip of a distorted history. Because we be blues, children, Bessie, and none can deny that you are our mother. I hate to see that evening sun go down. I said I hate to see that evening sun go down, because it makes me feel like I'm on my last go round. Thank you. Anyway, you know, a lot of black men, you know, sometimes, you know, when you have to deal with a lot of racism in your life, and, you know, I guess when he was growing up, things were much harder for him than it was for me and my brothers. But sometimes they turn to things like that to kind of elevate themselves, and sometimes they even turn to drugs and to alcohol. And, I don't know if I really set this poem up right, but anyway, my... But this poem was called In Another Time, and it's just some reflection on my father, I guess, you know, some memory I had. He used to always sing a song all the time. He said, Monday straight through Thursday, I work like a slave all day, but the eagle flies on Friday, because that's when I get my pay. My daddy used to say that he was an eagle. He talked about soaring and being king of his domain. Child ears accepted the self-exhortation. Child eyes painted surreal portraits of a cocky strutting rooster crowing for nightlife chicks, who for a three-for-one evening would listen to his fantasies of flight and high life. Maybe in another time, my daddy would have been an eagle. His massive arms would have made great wings. His powerful hands, vice-like claws, capable of holding on to anything on which he staked his claim. But my daddy wasn't no eagle. an oppressive society denied daddy the sky. It forced my father to ride illusions to gain flight, hovering over 86 proof bottles amidst seal-cracking Friday night talk of street corner takeoffs. That was as high as daddy ever got. No, my daddy, he wasn't no eagle, but in another place, in another time, he might have owned the sky. Went down to the tavern, see some friends of mine. The party was getting on the way. Man, I sure got blind. Thank you. Some years ago, I met this young lady and I was hanging out with her, and so one evening I called her up and I told her, you know, that I wanted to get intimate with her. So there was a pause on the phone for a while, and she said, "Damn, brother, aren't you a poet? You can't do no better than that, just to say." So I knew she was into jazz, so I wrote this piece and I read it to her on the phone. It's called Jasmine. There I go, there I go, there I go. Jazz me tonight, baby. Make me feel like royalty. Count Duke, battle. Together we can catch a train and ride each other's vibes for miles. And when we run out of tracks, we'll fly like birds. Whisper bebop incantations in my ear. Make me champagne dizzy with your magic laughter. Come on, baby, jazz me tonight. You see, Moody ain't the only one feeling in the mood for love. Play my erogenous zones with spirited fingers. Turn me into that one perfect note that makes our music special. Come on, baby, jazz me tonight. Ooh. Yeah. Well, the end of the story was I still didn't get none. Well, it improved my poetry. I could goddamn do some serious business. Kind of joking about age a little earlier. I am getting up to 49, and when my kids were very young, they're 29 and 28 now. When they were young, I used to coach all their teams, football teams, basketball teams, and all that stuff. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I kind of raised them from the time they were born, but you know, mom split, and I raised them from the time they were 11 to about 20, you know, by myself. So. That was a poem, though. But anyway, you know, sometimes I found it hard. So, you know, kids can be hard to talk to sometimes. So what I used to do is to write poems, and I tell them to read it, and then, you know, I tell them, then we discuss the poem. You know, I'll kind of write the poem around the subject matter that I wanted to talk to them about. And one evening, we was coming from a basketball game, and we were walking by this park, and, you know, a friend of mine, really fell on serious hard times. I used to play ball with. He was in the park and he was really out of it. You know, I used to see them winos in the park and kind of like pretending to shoot the basketball and stuff like that. But anyway, my sons and the rest of the team, they were laughing at him, and I didn't say nothing at the time too much, but when I got home, I thought about it. And I wrote this piece to kind of give me an engine to talk to him. And it's called "Used to Play This Game." You know, it really hurts me when I see you laughing at Bo Woolley. I bet he was telling you how he led the nation in scoring and assists as a high school senior. Man, Bo used to play this game. It really hurts you when I see you laughing at Bo, because he was a lot like you once. He wasn't always no winehead drunk playing shadow ball at midnight, shooting memories at the moon. Man, Bo Woolley used to be motion poetry, a blue-black lightning guard in sneakers, the ball just seemed to be an extension of his hands. I used to love to see Bo shake a sucker's drawers off and take him strong off the stutter step. Man, Bo Willie, he used to play this game. It's just too bad that old Bo couldn't play life like he played ball. You see, Bo never took school serious. He would always go out to the park and shoot the hoop. The only time Bo went to school is when he had basketball practice. You see, he thought he had the world on a string because his coach would see to it that he got passing grades. And all his friends would supply him with wine and drugs. And all the little girls hung around Bo because they thought he was the man. But what Bo couldn't see and just didn't understand, that his coach and his friends were just using him. They were riding his ass like he was a midnight cowboy. Nobody really cared about Bo or the fact that he couldn't read or write. I guess you're wondering how I know so much about Bo Willie. Well, you see, I was there. I played on all those championship teams with Bo. Man, Bo Willie was something special. Take him, Bo. Take him, the crowd used to yell. And Bo would go into his trick bag. Take him, Bo. Shake left. Take him, Bo. Bring the ball around his back. Take him, Bo Willie. Explosive penetration through the middle. Can't nobody give you Bo. I mean, Bo, he used to hang in air like time was his creation. But now Bo shoots hoops at midnight, shooting memories at the moon. The new starting five is could have been at guard, should have been at point guard. The two forwards are cheap wine and cocaine. Painful memories plays the center position. And every night, Bo's out there in that deserted park, shooting memories at the moon. A park filled with broken bottles. There was a time when Bo Willie, he used to play this game. Take him, Bo. Take him. Can't nobody do you, Bo. If it goes, thank you. Probably get some water. You know I'm moving kind of fast. But I'm in that James Brown mode. Just waiting on some water here. When I'm killing time, I always hum, but don't pay me no mind. Okay. I was on my way to Florida. We were doing a play called Threads of Tradition. And I had some time to kill, you know, so I had a couple of weeks on my head. I said, well, let me, instead of flying, let me take the train. And that was the worst thing I ever did. But besides that, I picked up a book by Terry McMillan, you know, this past time while I was riding. And it was that book, Waiting to Exhale. When I finished the book, it inspired me to write this piece called Freeze Already. Serious piece, y'all. We'll take everything you've got if you continue to allow us. Have you envisioning the ground to be the ultimate elevation? Expect you to dress yourself like painted whores, then call you my lady without blinking an eye. We'll use your precious body as just another weekend sporting event. Leave you with so many fatherless babies, you'll have to put them on computer discs to remember their names. Breathe already. We'll have you joining and converting to so many organizations and religious sects that you'll go to bed with ideology and faith stuck between your legs and awaken each morning without a clue to the meaning of having been screwed. Black woman, your black man must stand on his own. Stop being the pyramid we lean on. Stop being our crutch. If we can't stand up, then face down in the mud is where we belong. Stop being the backbone that camouflages our absence of spine. Force us to remember the meaning of family and love. And as you drape yourselves in the regal robes of our ancestors, and study at the feet of our historians. Make sure you read the parts of our history that speak to the horrors of big house rapes, babies being cut from your womb, the bulging eyes and twisted necks of suns being hung from trees called poplar, as in the poet's tragic verse. Strange fruit, huh, Billy? There should have been more Nats, Denmarks, and Gabriels in your lives. Men who understood that the war dance always precedes the freedom song, instead of men who hid behind the cowardly, pathetic excuse of living today to fight again tomorrow. There should have been no tomorrow for us where your honor and safety was concerned. The war dance always precedes the freedom song. Black women, stop standing around, moping, with cheeks and eyes bulging, waiting to exhale. Breathe already, my queen. Breathe. I think I mentioned that I have a really extensive R&B collection. And, I was really into music the most when in the 50s and going into the early 60s. I love groups like the Domingos, the Moon Girls, the Devils, you know, the Bitches, Frankie Lyman, the Teenagers, the Lord. I know they say, who the hell is it? But anyway, you know, after you move into the middle 60s and a little further on, I think black folk in particular kind of got away, or really ran away from their own music. You know, we was into kind of not to be ourselves. And thinking about that one evening, I wrote this piece called I Was There When Rhythm and Blues Died. The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was there when rhythm and blues died. I saw it get blown away by a 12-gauge double-barrel blast of crossover aspiration. I saw the soul, funk, blues, lifeblood that oozed from the fallen body turn ghost gray under a Harlem street lamp. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the children that was gambling in the dark. It was a chilling experience on that fateful night. I saw rhythm and blues. He was hunched over in a gambler's crouch, snake bones rattling in hand, its shadow dancing a contorted frenzied ritual under the gaze of a hazy moon stare. Come on, Lady Luck. Papa needs a new pair of blue suede shoes. Come on, sugar baby. Daddy needs an English accent and a bridge to cross over. Come on, lucky lady. Don't fail me now. Papa needs a nose shot and a ticket to the lighter side of town. On a never-to-forget Harlem night, I saw rhythm and blues get wasted. I got there in time to see Prince. He was drowning in a sea of purple rain. I saw Michael Jackson, he was on the moon. He was walking backwards in an effort to get ahead. I saw Diana Ross put on a back-length wig, 2-inch long eyelashes and dark shades. She was trying to slip away from the scene of the crime. Pushed my ears close enough to the madness to hear bebop let loose an agonizing scat and see swing derail on the A-train headed downtown. Pushed my face close enough to the horror to see rock and roll turn white with fright. You see, I was there when rhythm and blues died. I went to the wake, saw it lying in a casket shaped like a 78 RPM. Attended the funeral, saw it get laid to rest in a dusty old jukebox in the corner of a Harlem barbershop. You see, I was there when rhythm and blues died. I witnessed the whole tragic scene. Man, I saw it get shot in the back while trying to run away from itself. The night was clear and the moon was yellow. Thank you. Yeah, I got a few more I want to share, and I'm going to hit it and quit it, as James would say. this next piece, I was watching a documentary. It was one of the last interviews that Arthur Ashe granted before he died. He was being interviewed by Les Payne And in that interview, he said that the only thing worse than having the HIV virus was being a black man in America. This piece is called Up From the Ashes. Every day, we face another white lie of Goliath proportion, another little attempt at breakdown leader, another plantation mentality being built on top of our history to bury truth on the stone, age fantasies, another blood-soaked, fire-torched night of white hoods and crosses attempting to frighten us from freedom's road, another sadistic amputation of our legs as they belly laugh at our attempts to return to the mountaintop. Maybe they haven't heard, Maya, the thunder of the collective eye marching on stumps down glory's road, climbing without arms over the walls of can't do. Black folks can't do this. They can't do that. Their brain's too small. They lack concentration. They was cursed by God. They're too busy fornicating and chasing white women. Maybe they haven't heard the booming voices of the collective eye still rising, the crackling of the fire in our eyes as we burn the myths to ash and cheer as Arthur attacks the net. Take that, America. Vicious backhand in your face, an ace right down your throat. Love has never been the final battle. Freedom's trophies awarded to the victor. Maybe they haven't heard. Maybe they don't know that we're a special people, that we've got magic. Maybe they never heard Dr. Bessie Smith healing her weary people with blues songs. Maybe they weren't paying attention when Basie taught us to count in double time to make up for lost time. When Ali metamorphosed from butterfly to be all he could be. Maybe they don't want to know. To know what we've always known. The collective eye is still rising and offers at the neck as we start our ascent from the ashes. Backhand in your face, America, as Thurgood lifts us with a Marshall Plan. Up from the ashes. Harriet resurrects her train. She fuels it with Sojourner's truth as we march to join Nat, rising from the ashes among us. We call on our king to display the content of our character. We summon Benjamin Banneker to make our own clock, control our own time. We call on Brother James Baldwin to write it down to lift us up. You see, it's Bob Marley's redemption song we're singing as we sail on Garvey's Black Star Line. We can't be stopped. Tell them, Du Bois, struggle. Struggles in the souls of black folks. Amazing. Ain't it, Mahalia? The grace we display as we burn a hole in the belly of the beast and rise up from the ashes. Thank you. I kind of started off by saying, we deserve to really, we should really praise women a lot more. And one of the greatest women that I know, I mean, personal tip, was my mother. The short time that she was on the planet, and the short time that she shared with us, she really, with a second grade education and all that kind of stuff, she really saw through that we stayed in school and kept us cool with possibly. But anyway, my mother died when I was 12, and I'm writing this novel now, and it's kind of my story about growing up and how I feel that her early death has influenced my life from that point. A miracle worker with healing hands, hands that blended bath water into just right, lips that kiss bumps and scrapes into feel better. I used to think that God was forever because no one had prepared me for the absence of grace, life outside the shelter of her wings. Confusion brought bitterness, but even in my anger, I never forsook my God, never knelt at the altar of rejection or prayed to false idols. Mama, you were the only God I ever knew. So many years have passed since my baptism in your sacred waters. Still, I remain your child, writing poems in the absence of God. Thank you. I didn't know Arthur. I'm in this set of mind with a piece dedicated to Arthur Brown. I didn't know the brother, but Michael was kind enough to send me the book Trumpet in the Morning. And when I read it, I put this together because it moved me so much. It's called Bebop Trumpet by Arthur Brown. Ain't too many poets can quote a bebop riff. Catwalk a fence through Dizzy's moon-eyed smile. Sip bitches brew off the rim of Miles' blue-black lips. Ride a neon funk with train into a back alley night and not give a fuck about destination. Ain't too many poets can do that. Find a love supreme in the mouth of a red light night stalker pregnant with blues. Chase a yard bird round a sugar shack. Wake up the next morning and be a trumpet spitting defiance in the eye of a bloodshot sun. Be their own rhythm song. Slow grind with a barbed wire dream. Lick laughter from tears, take they women straight. No chaser, speak to the world in mystic tongues. Look at death as a missing part of life's puzzle. Ain't too many poets can quote a bebop riff. Ain't too many poets can do that.